Good morning. So this morning we are reading from Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 to 27. And we're covering the subject of intelligence, which is a physical earth suit general need. Once you have strengthened your spirit, which is the real you and is inside your earth suit, once you know how to use your dashboard of emotions to understand what's really going on around you. Once you understand these two, then you need to start looking at your earth suit. You need to do it that way around, because Satan is absolutely going to use your earth suit to try and damage your emotions to get to your spirit. He cannot get to your spirit directly. And so he will get you to call emotions, your emotion, they're yours. You are the one having the emotion. Not as it really is. You are the one detecting the spiritual realm through emotions. They're like your eyes and your ears. They're your senses, right? So, if you feel fear, well, you're picking up the presence of a spirit of fear. And so, it's not you that's afraid. Right? Don't hug the thing. Tell it to leave in Jesus' name. If you do not have Jesus within you, well, then you can't do that. You are subject to those entities, right? But once Jesus has made you a new creature, you're nine-dimensional, you can rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Not through your own power, through his power, right? Now, when you understand that that's actually the real world, that's actually what's going on around you, that's the real truth, then you can start to evaluate all the things that are going on around you as, okay, so what is this trying to do to me? All right, so for example, you watch enough movies and things like that, you have neural pathways that develop, right? And what neural pathways do is they channel your thinking. And if your thinking gets channeled in a certain way, it becomes predictable. Right? When you're listening to the Holy Spirit, there's no predictability. Not even you know what's coming next. Right? And so that's a real problem for artificial intelligence. It needs you to be predictable. Same with the spiritual realm. The evil spirits also need you to be predictable. They can't hear what Holy Spirit says to you, right? They don't know if you're going to just suddenly turn left just because Holy Spirit tells you to turn left. They don't know that you're going to do this, right? Okay, so when you realize that the world actually exists in a different way, then you've got to question whether or not earthly intelligence is helpful. So, for example, we go to school, and what do we learn in school? We learn what is not possible. You can't learn in school what is possible, because for you to know what is possible, you would have to know everything. Right? None of us do. Only God does. And so, by looking at these things in the Bible, we start to come across things that just don't make any sense. It can't be possible. It can't be real. According to what we've been taught. According to the movies we've watched. According to the games we've played. According to when you're in business, the things that work and don't work, so to speak, in inverted commas. And when somebody comes up with a new and innovative idea, well, everyone shuts it down because nobody believes it's possible. And when you come up with a really good idea and you go and patent it, all that happens is that they take the patent, they shut it down, and if you are likely to come up with some kind of engine that runs on water like somebody did about 60 years ago, you will just simply disappear and nobody will ever hear from you again. So we live in a controlled environment, but it's controlled by what Satan wants you to know and what he doesn't want you to know. But when you read the Bible, you discover a whole world of truth that's been hidden from you. Now, real intelligence would be to say, I'm not just going to work according to what people are telling me. Let me go and find out what's really going on. Now, when you work in the spiritual realm, you work by principles, by spiritual principles. You're only going to pick up these principles when you read the Bible cover to cover and you do it again and again and again. Slowly, these principles form into patterns and you're able to then apply them. Right? That's the only way, because you also need Holy Spirit to work within your spirit to teach you how things work. Now, in this world, everybody wants the quick fix, the sudden answer, the resolution immediately. They don't want to develop and grow in such a way as to strengthen them from the inside out. They don't want that. But that's the only way God's going to work with you. He calls you to have patience. He calls you to realize your spirit grows slower than your body. Your spirit learns millions and billions and trillions of things that your body is not picking up. And so you, in your mind, might say, oh, I'm bored. Your spirit is really busy. It's got to pick up things that are happening in the spiritual realm. I had somebody once explain it like this. If you took a Coke bottle, and all of us in the physical realm lived on the inside of the Coke bottle, everything in the world would be the spiritual realm. And it's understanding that vastness that your spirit actually is learning. Your spirit is learning so much more around you than you can imagine, but it's getting no context. And so it's trying to feed off whatever it's picking up physically to get context, which is the way Satan wants to do this. The way God wants to do this is let the Holy Spirit work with you, and remember, you're the Spirit. Holy Spirit work with you, using the Word of God, showing you things, bringing it out, teaching you, and growing you. And that takes time. It takes patience. Right, So with that in mind, we start reading chapter 6. And the backstory to this is that Joshua has now brought the children of Israel across the Jordan. They've all been circumcised now. So they're all back within God's covenant plan. Right? Remember that those in the wilderness died over the 40 years. And during that time, they didn't circumcise anyone. That way, they would know who was, in fact, part of the rebellion and who wasn't. But once they got across the Jordan, then they had to all be circumcised. And they got back into covenant with God at that point. And now they're going to approach Jericho. Now, remember, the spies were sent to Jericho, so they had a certain amount of intelligence as a consequence of their sending out the spies to Jericho. But what the spies came back with wasn't very encouraging. All that the spies could tell them is, look, they are afraid of us. They know God. They didn't come back with intelligence saying, well, if you can go in this door or that window, you'll be able to get here, etc. Because effectively what they came back and said was, this place is impenetrable. It has got the highest, thickest walls. The walls are so thick that there are houses on the inside of those walls. You can run 4 chariots wide across the top of those walls. They are that thick and strong. The bars are thick and strong on the gates, you're just not going to get in. So intelligence-wise, it didn't come back with any solutions. All they came back with was that God has given this place to us. They didn't figure out how this was going to happen. So at this point, Joshua now goes to the Lord and says, Lord, how do you want to do this? Right? And so we back it up to verse 13 of chapter 5. Joshua is asking the Lord, what do we do? What do we do? How do we do this? And verse 13 reads as follows. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua looks at this physically, and he says, okay, well, there's two camps here. There's two groups of people. There's them and us. And so he assumes, because he's looking physically, that this guy must be for them. But maybe he's not. Maybe he's on our side. Notice, maybe he's on our side. Well, the answer he gets is no. In other words, neither. Not on their side, not on your side. And he says, I'm actually on God's side. Now, what is Joshua's response? Right? We start there again from verse 14. And he said, nay, but captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest, holy. And Joshua did so. Notice something about this captain. You see, everywhere throughout the Bible, any time that any person came and bowed down to try and worship an angel, they were immediately told by the angel, no, 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 don't do that, I'm your fellow servant. This captain allows this. And the reason why is this is Jesus Christ. And you get that reference again when he's talking about going to the cross to sacrifice his life, when he says, don't you think I could call on my Father and he would give me 12 legions of angels? What does that mean? He's in charge of those angels. He is the captain of the Lord's host. The host is all the armies of heaven, right? So all of a sudden, now Joshua's not worried. So, Jesus says to him, take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon thou standest, holy. And Joshua did so. Bottom line is, you will get no form of intelligence from God unless you first stand before Jesus and you acknowledge that he is holy, all-powerful, and has all the solutions. You cannot, in any way, shape, or form, have any real intelligence, because any intelligence that you get, even from artificial intelligence, is looking backwards to try and predict forwards. Only God knows the actual future and what actually will take place. And that's the intelligence that you truly want. So let's see what plays out here. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. When this captain of the Lord's host says to Joshua, See, it's capital S. He's saying, here is a vision. I want you to believe what I'm going to tell you. See? And then he tells him the future. I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. What does that mean? When God gives you a vision, it's already done. He's talking from on the other side of this event, because he's outside of time. He can do whatever he wants. That's why absolutely nothing we ever do is going to make any real difference, right? We need to learn to align with what God is doing. So now, he tells him a spiritual principle on how he's going to overcome Jericho. And it's going to make zero sense to our human brain because we don't have the neural pathways for this. We don't understand the spiritual principles. Right? I have applied this, by the way, in reality, and I'll tell you what, it makes a huge difference. So as an introduction to this, I think it's important to understand the time that Joshua lived in. He lived in a time where there was great corruption on earth. The Nephilim, who were born from the fallen angels and people, had corrupted so much of the DNA, the purity that God had created. And they kept on doing so. The giants that were in the land were harvesting and eating and picking people like berries and eating them. They had a lust because their souls were not souls that belonged to God. They had this continuous lust, this continuous starvation. They could never be satisfied. The only thing they could do was eat. And so they were eating and destroying people around them. Then God sent the flood, destroyed all of those. But the spirits that were in them still had to find some other place to go to. And so they hung around until there were more and more people born on the earth. And they started to infest them. And they started to do all of the same thing all over again. So when Joshua was sent to destroy all of those living in the promised land, it was because it was so corrupted. So corrupted with fleshly creatures. Right. A lot of them looked like human beings, but what lived inside that house? No, that was not good. And Satan wants you to have compassion on all of his evil. He wants you to learn. It's called tolerance. Tolerance is having compassion on evil. God is going to do that. You don't have to have compassion in your own house. You can tell the evil to leave. You can take the evil things and destroy them. And if you're staying in a place that's evil, you can ask the Lord to show you how you can stay there and make a difference, or how you can leave. And he can lead you in those things. So when we start to read Joshua, you need to understand what God is getting rid of and why God is getting rid of it. Because otherwise you're going to misread and misunderstand what's going on here. Now that Jesus has come, we give everybody the opportunity to give their heart to the Lord. We are not harming physical houses or human beings' bodies or whatever. We're not harming the flesh. Remember, the Word of God says, we do not fight against flesh and blood. Why? It's just houses. Come on. What's the point of doing that? You want to save the spirit that lives within. and Jesus has made that possible. At this time, Jesus had not come, and therefore it was impossible to save any other way than by destruction. So when we go into this, remember what's really going on. We back it up to verse 13 of chapter 5. Joshua is asking the Lord, what do we do? What do we do? How do we do this? And verse 13 reads as follows. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and said unto him, Thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And ye shall compass the city, all men of war, go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long with a ram's horn, when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Right? You notice that. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, going on and blowing with trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So did they 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, it and all that therein, to the Lord. Right? It's accursed, everything in it is accursed. But notice, it's accursed to the Lord. Everything in it belongs to the Lord. It's accursed to us. To humans, it's accursed. Everything on it is accursed. You give it to the Lord. The same way as Jesus took our sin, So you have the same thing taking place here. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep from the accursed thing, lest ye make accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron consecrated unto the Lord, they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, wind blew with trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox, and sheep, and ass with the edge of the sword. So it's important to understand at this point, why was everyone killed? Everyone, animals and everything, why were they done? You see, we have the same problem on this planet at the moment. People have been messing around with DNA and mixing and creating all sorts of abominations. Because why? This is where the Nephilim were living. This is where the fallen angels had brought in their children and grown their children in and out of human beings. And what existed wasn't just human beings, it was the animals too. They corrupted everything. And so God had a massive DNA problem. They had come in and destroyed all of these people in that. And the only way to resolve this problem now was to get rid of what was living. And of course, that's what he did. Remember, he did this with the great flood. Nephilim came back and did this all over again, creating all these problems. And this was the remnant that they were getting rid of, right? So, understand, God is not saying, go out and get rid of other people. Because why? God is going to get rid of the right people at the right time. We love everybody because we don't know who's who. And we don't know which person's spirit has been given to the Lord, or which person has given their spirit to the Lord and has been changed inside. It's a different dispensation. Since Jesus died, we can change inside. In these days, you couldn't change inside. Jesus hadn't died yet. Only way to resolve the problem was to destroy all the flesh, all that was living. Because why? You know, a lot of these people were eating people. They were destroying the villages, etc., around them. You don't hear the full stories of these giants. But they were picking people like berries. They were eating each other. They were doing all sorts of things. Before the flood, this is what they were doing. And now the remnant of them was now in this place. Because they'd come back again. And people say, where did they go to? Well, some went underground. Who knows where others went? The point is, their spirits were around. The spirits were around. And the spirits just looked for new hosts. So Joshua had to come and get rid of them. That was God's plan. He didn't do the job properly. So we are dealing with the remnants of these again, messing with all sorts of things that they're really not supposed to be. And they're corrupting this earth and have been for some time. And a lot of people they're corrupting. But we Christians are not going to violently resolve this problem. God is going to do it in his own time, in his own way. We're going to love everybody and give everyone a chance to make it through to heaven, right? So that's what we do. But that's not what happened in this time. Jesus made such a difference for us. Go back to verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that therein, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass, and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. You know, when you contribute to something God is doing, God will take care of you, protect you, etc. Right? And Joshua adjured at that time, saying, Cursed the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was throughout all the country. Just about none of this story makes any sense to us as a set of human beings who have been trained to think differently. One of the things that you absolutely struggle with in this account of what took place is the way Satan has tried to get people to feel compassion for those who are doing evil. Now, we have forgiveness through Jesus, so we don't have to destroy what is evil. We can actually ask people to rather turn away from the evil. God's going to destroy the evil. Right? And yes, if it's an evil object and it's in your house, destroy it. Get rid of it. If it's a person, do not do that. If it's an evil person, ask them to leave. Right? You don't have to keep evil people around in your house. If it's their house, then you can leave. Ask the Lord where you must go. But we don't harm people, because people are houses in which spirits live. And you don't want to harm the real owner of that house. So we don't hurt people. That's why Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Leave it to the Lord to sort out. It's just a house doing something to another house. You as the spirit are not the one being damaged. But there are those whose spirits are actually evil. And for them, that's a different story. So, knowing this full history gives you a background to understanding real intelligence. Real intelligence says, when a person has cancer, get rid of the cancer and leave none of it behind. You've got to get rid of all of it. We don't feel sorry for the cancer and say, oh yeah, we'll just leave some of this here. It's going to grow and it's going to become terrible. You've got to get rid of the cancer. That's intelligence. When God does the same on our planet, it's intelligence. And we need to understand what he's doing. But with his grace and his love, he's given us another alternative. And this is the good news. There is another way. You can now get home to God through Jesus. Through his blood sacrifice, you can get home. It's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter how many times a day you pray. It doesn't matter how many times you count rosary beads. It doesn't matter how many times you do anything physical. It matters, where is your heart? And if it's given to Jesus, and Jesus is within you, you are saved. You are saved from the destruction that's coming. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit's speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then make your keywords in the second column and score yourself in the right. God bless and have an absolutely beautiful day.